promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, I am trusting in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. If it's sickness that you feel, nobody is under. Remember His name, all my fears. Cast your cares on Jesus, and you'll find you soon be whole. Believe His burden, promise all is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, in every line, will stick in His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. You might ask for salvation, one cross elation, one your truly love is called far away. Look unto the Lord, and by faith stake your claim. Trust in God and call upon His name. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, in every line, I am trusting in His love. Every promise in the book is mine.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up this tithes and offering before You, thanking You for blessing Your people during the week, thanking You for putting this burden on their heart so that they can support Your work in Your house, O Lord. We lift up these, O Lord, asking that Your word be fulfilled for them, O Lord. Fulfill every need, O Lord, and let this be used solely for the advancement of the kingdom of God. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen. May God bless you, brother. So, can we ask Sister Sharon? We can sit down, and Sister Sharon Lubanza to give testimony. Amen.
God bless you. I'm not used to talking in front of people, so just bear with me. But I made a promise to God, and He answered my prayer, so I'm here to testify and give Him all the glory. So I think a month ago, Brother Andrew was preaching on when God says no, it's for our good, and it's always, God's no is always a positive for us. But I did say amen to the word that day, and He asked, like, who wants to know God more? And I lifted up my hands, and He said, when you accept it, you are asking for more trials and temptations and more burdens. So it was very difficult for me because I was working before and things did not go well. And I started looking for a job again. But every time I was getting rejections, even for internships. And 3 weeks ago, after hearing the preaching, I just said, okay, God, I leave it into Your hands. You know what is best for me. I know that there is a job there for me, so I'm not going to stress about it. And Your no is a positive for me. So I kept applying, and 3 weeks ago, I got into contact with another recruitment company, and I met a lady called Zoe. So it was for a graduate role. And I went to see her, and she was a very lively person. Even the name Zoe, I think irrespective of the person, Zoe means life. So I felt comfortable talking to her, and she was very happy with me, even my qualifications. And even though I didn't have that much experience, but she believed that I will get a job. So I spoke to her, the interview went well. And then she said that, okay, I have another colleague of mine who saw your CV, and she has some roles. Maybe you'll be interested in it. So I had another second interview the same day. So I met her colleague, Deirdre, but she had more of secretarial jobs, and she asked me, what would you like to do? I said, more into the finance. She's like, okay, right now I have more of secretarial jobs, so maybe next time. Okay, no problem. And then there was another colleague of hers that had a job at the company itself, but to recruit people. But I wasn't interested in that because myself, I'm looking for a job. I don't want to go recruiting people again. So, but I did stay and listen to what she had to say. She told me, think about it and get back to me the following week. So the weekend I prayed. I'm like, okay, maybe God, this is what you want me to do this recruitment job. But let your will be done. But my heart was not there. So the week I met her manager, everything went well. And she said that she still had other rounds of interviews to do. So with Zoe's job, I got the company accepted to meet me on a Thursday at 10. So I had an interview for that. And then Deirdre, she came back to me. She's like, oh, no, I got another finance role. I will send you the job spec. You have a look. If you're interested, come back to me. So I had a look. I said, okay, send my CV forward. So she sent my CV, but she didn't get back to me again. But I went to do the interview for the graduate role, the graduate program, and I had 30 minutes with the first interviewer, and then I had a 30 minutes test, which was very difficult for me because half of the things I forgot about it. It was numerical and then on Excel. And then I had another interview, 45 minutes with the second interviewer, so I was there for an hour and a half. When I left there, I'm like, okay, I know that my test was not good, so if they're going to be depending on that, I don't think I will get the job. But I said, God, I leave it into your hands, so I'm not there. Yeah, and then I had another interview with a bank on Monday. And I went to do the interview. It was very good, and myself, I felt confident, okay, I will get the job. And since it was the Easter break, then on Tuesday this week, the lady from the bank, she called me. She said, no, it didn't go well because your answers were too vague. I'm like, okay, it's fine. But inside of me, I was very heartbroken because I was really depending on that job there at the bank. But I'm like, okay, I went to pray. I said, God, your no is for my good. I know that there is a job there for me, so I leave it into your hands. So I went to pray. And then in the afternoon, Zoe, she called me. She said, oh, good news, the interview you had last week where you had the test, etc., they want to meet you for the second round this Friday at 10 a.m. I'm like, okay, that's good. I'm like, I at least expected to get a feedback from there because I knew the test. I didn't do great in it. So I'm like, okay, it's good, no problem. And then Deirdre last week, she called me. She had another role, and they wanted to meet me this Wednesday here. So I'm like, okay, I will go and do it. But I was not too motivated to go to that interview because although the pay was good, the position was good, etc. But I'm okay, I'm just going to go and do it and see how it goes. So I went on Tuesday. She called me to see how prepared I was for the interview. She gave me advice. She said, Sharon, be confident. I know you're a good girl. You can get that job. Just do your revision, get to know about the company, and go there with confidence. She was even more excited for me than I was myself. I'm like, okay, I will do it. I'm like, thanks for the advice. So Wednesday, I went in this Wednesday, and I got there, and these people, they were much more older than the people I've been interviewed before, so they could be in their early 40s, late 40s, and the way the man was speaking was so, boring, and I was just tired in the interview room, like, please, let's just finish, I get out, I really don't want this job as well, so let's just finish already. So I did my part, went through the interview process, and then they had asked me questions, and I had asked questions, and I went out. I'm like, okay, I don't care if I don't get it, so because I really didn't want to do it. So, I mean, God, it's just you. I even called a sister from Paris. I told her, yeah, the interview was okay, but I don't know if they are happy with me because their facial expression, you can't read if you're they're interested in you. They were just serious. So, and I knew myself I didn't give my all compared to the past interviews I did. So I'm like, okay, I'm not counting on this job. So I called Deidre. I gave her the feedback. I said, thank you for giving me this interview and all. And she said, okay, I'll get back with the company and let you know. So on my way back home, she calls me, and then I was in a very noisy place. She's like, oh, Sharon, they want to meet you. And I'm like, I thought it was maybe they want to meet other candidates first and then get back to me. She's like, no, you passed the first interview. They want you to come for the second round tomorrow. I'm like, really? I'm like, what did I do to amaze them? Because myself, I didn't give my all. I knew I was not interested, even though I said I am interested in the role. So I was very surprised, and I just believe it's God, because I thought I didn't give my all, but it was just enough for God to use in order for him to do the rest of the job. So I said, okay, no problem. Tomorrow, Thursday, I'll meet the HR manager at the same time. So I went to meet the HR manager, and he was more like lively person. He was I felt confident speaking in front of him, and he asked me questions. I asked him questions, and then and then when it was done, he told me, I asked him, what is the next step from here? He said, okay, I'll contact Deidre, and then I will let you know, maybe today or tomorrow. I'm like, okay, no problem. He was very so kind. He even helped me put on my coat when I finished. I went out. I'm like, ah, these kind people, and tomorrow they're going to stab you in the back and say you don't get the job. So I'm like, I don't trust this man. So I went out, and then downstairs at the lobby, there was a security there, because he saw me like yesterday and then today again. And some thought just struck, I just looked at him, and some thought just came to me, like, you're going to start seeing me often here. And I just smiled and said goodbye, and then I went. But I don't know where this thought was coming from. And I got home. I called Deidre. I said, thank you again. It went well. She said, okay, I'm going to get back to you. So she calls me again a few minutes later. She's like, Sharon, if I tell the company that you are willing to take, if they give you the job today, you are willing to cancel your interview you have tomorrow, then is it okay with you? I'm like, okay, just tell them that, but I don't know if they're going to change their mind about hiring me. She's like, no, let me tell them, if they give you the job today, you can cancel your interview you have tomorrow. I'm like, okay, go ahead, Deidre. So I went home. It was 2, 3, 4, 5. I know that the offices are closed already. And then the devil came to me like, okay, you see, you didn't get it. It didn't work. So I'm like, okay, I still have another interview tomorrow for a second round. So I know there's a chance. And then I went home. And then after 5, I received the SMS from her. She said, please call me as soon as possible. I was so panicked because I read the as soon as possible. I didn't read the rest of the message. So I'm like, it's either good news or bad news. And then she told me, no, the companies want to offer you the job. And then she said they even increased the salary. I mean, it was even the figure. Yeah. The salary was really good, but they increased it, and there was benefits as well coming with it. So she asked me, "Are you willing to accept the job?" I'm like, which question is this? I'm looking for a job. You're asking me again if you. I'm like, yes, I do want to take this job. So she asked me to reply to her by email. I did, and I was so like excited over the phone. I said, "Thank you, Jesus!" And then I'm like, "Please send me the benefits," because I couldn't hear anything you were saying over the phone. So she sent me the list of benefits, which I was not expecting to come with the job. And this job, it's a permanent role, and the position also is very high, even though I don't have that much experience. I'm just surprised that, like, and really today I can say that when God says no, it's for your good, because there's something greater. Yeah. So I just wanted to say thank you to God. It was not easy, because this was my 15th interview since January, and the last one as well for now. And I want to say thank you, Lord, for everything, because by myself, I wouldn't do it. I couldn't, you know, it's not my own hand. It's just His to get a good position like this with less experience in a foreign country as well. So I want to say thank you to God, and also to surrender my life to Him. And I'll be starting tomorrow. So even though I'll be at the workplace, my goal is to bring souls, a soul or two to God, even there at work, because He gave it to me, so I want to give back to Him. So I just want to sing this chorus to say thank you to Jesus. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load, the more cares, the more you take control, the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more. God bless you.
Amen. I remember when they sent to us letter, you have to move out of house because we are selling house. And we didn't know what to do. It was such a bad experience. But we got better house. Amen. It's like Brother Andrew, he was preaching in Book of Esther. You know, God raised somebody there, rose somebody there, just for your favor. Brother Eli. And after Brother Mike has to say something. Thank you, yeah? Amen.
After such a powerful testimony, we need to keep the pace up. Just a little hymn that you all know, but we're going to sing it in French. So if you can follow through in English, it will be just perfect. Précieuse, gratuite et guérissante, pour l'aiguille calvaire, à la croix,
à la croix,
à la croix,
sois ma gloire à
jamais.
À la croix,
Jésus,
à la croix,
Jésus.
God bless you, sir. Sorry that I don't sing myself. I can see most of the people who are coming here with testimonies. They're singing as well, but for me, forget. I don't have a good voice to sing. I'm not blessed on that. I just want to say, to thank God for what he has done for me last Sunday. I was driving from work and I was going towards my place in Blessington. So as usual, you know, we take it for granted that this is the road I always drive. I've been driving there for 4 years. So you take your time driving and listening to music, you know. Sorry, that was not me. Amen. Okay. I don't mind the mic anyway. So I was driving, taking my time. I wasn't driving so fast. There was a song which I was using and which I was listening at that time. It was done by this choir from Malawi. It says it's saying about Lord rescue me. So I was just listening to the song and I was really shocked that I felt in love with that song that day. And the first time I started the car, the song starts, and all the way I keep on repeating. You know, most of the time, sometimes my wife would say, "Hey, brother, now you've been repeating that song for so many times." But this time I was on my own in the car, so I would say, there's nobody to bother me to say, you've been repeating this song. So I keep on repeating, but I didn't know what was going to happen in the next few minutes. So there was this bend that I was taking, and when I was taking that bend, I just felt like the car started swinging side by side. So I tried to wrestle with the car just to bring it back on the road, and I felt. So whatever happens there, I couldn't even remember. But what I remembered in my brain was to hear the voice that makes sense, that makes noise. The voice that was making noise, boom, 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 boom. So I was like, what's going on? Of course, I saw the car coming in front of me. There was a lady and a child in the car. So the first time I said, let me not hit that car. Maybe I should swing it the other way. So that was the last time I realized myself, in my senses, that I'm handling things or I'm taking control. But the rest of everything, I didn't even hear anything. I mean, I didn't even see anything happen. So the car roared and ended up on the side of the road. And my seatbelt was still tight. And I was like, wow, I think I've made an accident here. What's going on? So something reflected on me, and then something just came up to say, I have to take off the seatbelt now. I have to jump off. Maybe, you know, I didn't even look at myself, like, am I hurt or, you know, any injuries or anything. So I just opened the door and jumped off and started running. So the other guy said, no, hey, come down, sit down here, don't run, you know. You never know, maybe you've got internal injuries or, you know, people have to come and assess and everything. So I said, no, look, I'm fine, bro. So they said, no, most of the people, when they make an accident, they would say, I'm fine. And then the few minutes, they collapse, you know. So I obeyed the advice. I sat down, and there are some other people was coming to help and looking around, asking me, was someone else with you in the car? So I said, no, it's only myself. And they asked me, what else did you have in your car? So looked around. Someone says, oh, there's only a Bible there. So they said, unfortunately, we might be not able to take it out because the car is stuck. It's lying on that side, so we can't. Maybe we just link the fire brigades and come and do whatever they can do. So the fire brigades came and give me help there. The good thing as well was that just across the road, there's this house. The one who stays in the house is a retired doctor. So he's over 70. So he came out as he heard the noise. So he came with his whatever equipment. I believe he knew that there is something wrong out there, so I might need to help. So he looked around and he had something to look in my eyes to see if I'm okay. So I said, no, I'm okay. So he said, no, you're fine. Don't worry about anything. And tell everybody, don't ring the ambulance. There's no point for the ambulance. So once the fire brigades come, and they'll do whatever they can, and you're ready to go. I don't know what you're going to do with your car. So I said, I don't mind about the car now. What I mind is my life. So I started thinking, who should I start calling? Because I knew if I call sister, my wife there, and she'll be panicking. So I was like, who should I call? I called my brother, but that's in Malawi now. So I felt like, no, that's not good enough because he's in Malawi. There's nothing he can do. So I said, there's nobody else who I can call right now. I was thinking of some other brothers, but I said, no, I think my wife she's the first one to call. So I gave her a ring, and then she was panicking, you know, all this screaming. But we thank God I'm here now. And I really thank the Lord that I'm back in his house again, and praise the Lord that I can worship him again. And he gave me another chance that maybe if there is some other things that I might need to clean up, maybe it's my time that maybe I should start the new life. Maybe you never know. Maybe, you know, sometimes you might be thinking, I'm okay, I'm 100% perfect, but you never know what the Lord has prepared for you. So I really thank the Lord for that. I've already said I'm not going to sing because I'm not a good singer. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen. We can appreciate just when it happened to us. Amen. We can stand up and sing, "There shall be showers of blessing." Amen. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. This season's refreshing sent from the Savior above. Of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we pray, there shall be showers of blessing. Precious reviving again over the hills and the valleys. Rain showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Sound us are falling, showers we pray.
showers of blessing. Send them upon us, O Lord. Come to us now, a refreshing. Come and upon thy word, showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today my foe will confessing. Jesus we call, showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are pouring, but for the showers we pray.
Sister, can you find? I bless your name. I bless your name. Amen. Amen. In prisoner's chain, with bleeding strife, Paul and Silas prayed at night, and in their pain began to sing. Their chains were loosed and they were free. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So me I die if you should fall. Reach out and praise, defy those chains, and they will fall in Jesus' name. I bless your name, I bless your name, I give you honor. You are the light, the truth, the way. I bless your name. I bless your name. So if you find that in your life, so high, reach out to heights unknown, and you will find you're not alone. I bless your name. I bless your name. I give you honor, I give you praise. You are the light, the truth, the way.
Heavenly Father, once again, as your people, we just want to bless your name upon this day. We just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you do on behalf of your people. Thank you, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh. Thank you, Lord, that you provide our needs. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, that you are our deliverer. That you deliver us from evil. Father, you said that you would send your angels to watch over us, Lord. And lest we dash our foot against a stone. Father, you said that you'd bear us up. Thank you that you bore our brother up. Thank you for providing for our sister. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. And Father, Lord, we look unto thee once again this day. Because, Lord, you love to unfold yourself. So continue to unfold yourself in the lives of your people. And even as we open up your word, Father, unfold yourself to us. Teach us and instruct us and lead us and guide us, Lord. And be glorified, Lord. I pray for Brother Alex, the situation with him is at his work. Father, he's made a step, Lord, for you, for your kingdom upon this day. Father, you said, forsake not the assembling of one another together. Lord, we know that the powers and authorities that be will try to move us away from the post of duty. But Father, I pray that you'll bless him. I pray that you'll bless him as you bless Daniel. I pray that you'll bless him. As you bless Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I pray that you'd minister grace on his behalf, Lord. That you'd fight his battle, we pray. Father, I do pray for Brother Max and Sister Comfort as they travel this week, Lord. Father, bless their journey, Lord. Prosper them. Father, watch over them, Lord. Be with them from the beginning to the end. Bring them safely back, we pray. Father, achieve your purpose there. Let there be a good report, is our desire. We think of the testimony our brother brought last time. He had his test, Lord, of, Father, your goodness that you ministered to him, Father. Lord, let it be so. Father, let everything be in order. And if something's not in order, Father, at this time we set it in order in Jesus' name. We stand against all the works of the enemy, anything that he would desire to do. Father, glorify thy name. Father, we do pray for Brother Lubanz in Galway. Bless him upon this day. Father, Lord, the furtherance of your message. Father, open up doors. Father, let your hand be upon him. Grant him favor with people. Work your work. Father, glorify thy name in that place is our petition, Lord. Father, we bring it unto thee. Father, we pray for Brother Nanda. Father, I want you to come to visit. I pray that you'll just make a way. Father, that he may come to minister once again a blessing to your people. Father, we bring it all up unto thee. And Father, we've come now to sit at your feet once again. Speak unto us, Lord. Open up our eyes, Lord. Father, we may be tired from the activities of this week. Some people have been studying. Some people have been working, Lord. But Father, we've come, Lord, to that place now that we desire our souls will enter into eternity once again, that you may fellowship with us and renew our strength, and that you, Father, would come to the end of the service, may gain all the glory. Bless your people gathering to the north, south, east, and west in like manner. Touch your people this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. God bless you, saints. I just want to greet our visitors, Brother Teddy from London Christian Assembly, Brother Chandler's Church. God bless you, Brother Teddy. Where's Brother Teddy? God bless you, brother. Amen. Also, Brother Shep has brother is Houston Brian Chinyama. God bless you. He's visiting as well. God bless you, Deborah. May the Lord bless you as well. Brother Shep is really fulfilling the last great commission. And may the Lord bless him in his labors. Amen. So let's open our Bibles, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. As we said, Brother Max will be traveling this week. Sister Comfort, God bless you, brother. May the Lord be with you on your journey. Amen. Isaiah 45, 22. We'll just look at that one verse to get our thought today. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I don't think there's any better advice than that verse. No matter what situation you are, that's the answer. Look unto me and be ye saved, all ye to the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else. Now the prophet preached a message called look. We'll just be looking at some of the things he said there. But one word that I found that he says so many times in this message, look, is he takes the word focus. So that's going to be our thought today. We just want to speak on the word focus. Because this is one of the most important things to a believer is focus. There's so many things that are going to come to try to get you to lose focus. But you'll see that God's promise, for God to do something inside of your life, you've got to keep focus. You know, the word focus means to pay particular attention to. So if God says something, as God starts working inside of your life, you've got to pay particular attention to what God is doing, what God is saying, what God has promised at any one time. You know, the Christian life isn't just a general life. You know, you can't just read anything, pray in any sort of a way. You've got to have focus. You've got to come to an understanding to see what is it that God desires at any one time. What is God trying to do in your life at this time? What is God trying to deal with you about? Don't focus on anything else. If you want to be successful, you've got to keep your focus. What God is doing, you've got to put your focus upon what is God is doing. And God deals with us so individually. Now, what He's dealing with you may be totally different than me. So my focus at this time may be totally different than yours. What you need to focus on. Some people, it might be your prayer life. You need to focus on your prayer life. Some people, you need to overcome yourself, your temperament. Because your temperament gets in the way of you, your temper and so forth, and keeps bringing you out of the program of God, keeps bringing you out of the place that you're supposed to be. So this thing of focus is an important thing. Focus means, the word focus is the center of activity or interest. So when you're focusing on something, you're putting this as the center of your interest or activity. Now, obviously, the devil, he knows one thing, that when the sons and daughters of God start to focus on the right thing, he's in a lot of trouble. Amen. He knows that when you start focusing on the right thing inside of your life, when you start focusing about what God is trying to do in your life, when God starts speaking to you, God starts dealing with you, you start focusing on that. You make that the center of activity inside of your life. You make that the center of what interests you at that time. And you put your focus on that. Something supernatural is going to take place. Because God will never lead you in a way that is going to deceive you. If God starts moving inside of your life, He wants to bring you somewhere. But you've got to keep your focus. And friends, the devil knows that. And that's why the devil is the master of bringing so many other things to take our focus away from the things that we should be focusing upon. You shouldn't be focusing on your job today. That's not the important thing. You should be focusing on the mind of God. Should be focusing upon the will of God. What is God thinking of you now? What is God expecting of you now? What is the next step that He's expecting you to take? He's not going to show you anything further until you focus on the very thing that He wants you to do now. If He's saying to go and make right with this brother, or go and reconcile with this sister, don't expect anything else. Don't expect any more supernatural. Don't expect any more vision, revelation, whatever it is, until you focus. Until you put your focus on the right thing and you fulfill what it is that God's expecting you to fulfill at this time. And just as much as in an age, God wants the church to focus on what He's promised for this age. God has certain things now that He has upon His heart. There's certain promises pertaining to us. And the devil knows if he can get us busy, he can get us doing other things, and we stop focusing on the things that God wants us to focus on, we'll never achieve what He's called us to achieve. And that's why He's going to try to get us caught up. He's going to try to get us sidetracked, try to get us to pay attention to so many other things. But we've got to keep coming back to focus on the things that we need to focus on. The word to focus, if you take your camera, you've got to focus your camera. If you take your binoculars, you've got to focus your binoculars. Certain things come and knock them out of focus. Whereas before you used to look through those things and you would see things crystal clear. But now you look through those same things and you don't see things clear anymore. Friends, that happens in the life of a believer. Whereas before you used to see things real clear. Used to see the message clear. Used to see the purpose of God for your life clear. But something comes and knocks you out of focus. You've got to now bring things back into focus. And that word focus means the state or quality of producing clear visual definition. And that's what you need spiritually. We need to get ourselves back into focus. We need clear spiritual sight, clear spiritual definition. So we know who we are. We know what we're raised up for. so that we know what should we be putting our attention upon. Where should our focus be at this time? The prophet says when the bride knows who she is, that means the bride has got a focus. And once the bride gets into focus and puts her focus on the right things, the devil knows he's not going to be able to stand. And that's why he wants to kick up a fuss. That's why he wants to come. You come to church in the morning for Sunday school and the alarm goes off. That's just the devil. But let's say it to him today. He can delay things, but he can never stop them. He'll never stop the things of the kingdom of God. He's wasting his time. Because great is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And nothing will stop the sons and daughters of God. He may get you to lose focus for a season, but to the genuine believer, Moses lost focus for 40 years. Then there was a burning bush. Then there was an appointment that God had with this prophet to bring him back into focus so that he could realize once again who he was, what his strange birth meant, what he had been raised up for. Friends, focus is such an important thing. And as you go through this message, look, 1963, just after the seals, the prophet continues to use this term, focus. And that's when I thought of it yesterday. I said, this is a very important principle here. Because when you find the prophet focusing on a certain word, like focus, it's something we need to focus on a little bit as well. And the first thing that he speaks about, well, he speaks of a lot of things, but he speaks about the first person was Abraham. Now let's think how Abraham kept his focus. Because God gave Abraham promise, but it took 25 years for that promise to come to pass. But in all those 25 years, Abraham managed to keep his focus. Amen. Our friends, when he lost focus, where did he end up? Back in Egypt. Yeah? When he went along with the wrong people, he took Lot along. Lot caused him to lose focus. Because there was strife now between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. And instead of Abraham focusing on what God had spoken to him, Abraham had to take his focus to other places. And when the drought came in the life of Abraham in those early years, he started to lose focus. The promise had said, stay in the land. I'll bless you. I'll make your name great. But when he started to lose focus, now he started to focus on other things, started to focus on his natural needs, started to focus on his natural condition, he lost focus of the thing that he should have been focusing on. And then he took himself and he took his family into the place that they weren't supposed to be. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, there would have been a real complication in the program of God. And friends, we are the seed of Abraham and we can testify ourselves. We've all made the same mistake as well. We've been sidetracked by circumstances, sidetracked by conditions that have risen up. When the promise seems to be taking long, if you're not careful, you start losing focus. You start losing focus on the thing that you should be focusing on. And friends, nobody, when the prophet went off the scene in 1965, thought he would still be here 51 years later. Amen. And that's why the bride starts losing focus in many places. Amen. And we start speaking of this and that and building up kingdoms and building up empires. No, I'd say we as the bride, we need to come back into focus. Amen. Let's get back into focus. Amen. What are the promises that you made for us? What should we be focusing on? Let's refocus and get a clear visual definition once again of the things that God wants us to see at this time, Amen. That we should be paying attention to. So he speaks about Abraham, how Abraham was asked to separate himself, to sojourn in a strange land. And then straight away the prophet says, the Christian looks at the unseen. So your focus as a believer must always be the unseen. Don't ever focus on that which is seen. Don't ever focus on natural conditions. Don't ever focus on the situation you are now. To a believer, you focus on the unseen. The moment the unseen isn't your focus, you're getting yourself in trouble. The moment the natural becomes your focus, your job becomes your focus, your college becomes your main focus. You know, your relationship with your relatives, with worldly people, be careful. You're going to get yourself out of the channel that God has called you to focus on. But the believer, your focus has got to be on the unseen. You've got to focus upon the things that God has promised that maybe you haven't yet seen in its fullness. Keep your focus on the promise. That's the only way that God can bring it to pass. We've got to focus. And what is it when you focus on the unseen? That's revelation. That's what God has spoken to you. So God spoke to Abraham. That was faith that came to him now. That's what God wanted him to focus on. Didn't want him to focus on Hagar. Didn't want him to focus on all these other things that came up. He wanted him to focus on the unseen. To focus on what God had spoken to him. To focus on what God had promised that he was going to do for Abraham. Because this was God's grace. God separated him for a purpose. God separated you for a purpose. There's things that God has spoken of you. And that's the thing you need to be focusing on. Don't focus upon what other people think about you. That doesn't matter. What matters is what he thinks about you. Don't worry about what other people say about you. That's just going to make you lose focus. Focus on what he says about you. But the Lord knows just how much we as human beings, having these five natural senses, having now the spiritual senses as well, emotions and feelings and so forth, how easy it is for us to get ourselves involved focusing on that realm. Instead of focusing in the only realm that we're called to focus on, and that is that which is the unseen. And Abraham started well, and he started looking at that. And the prophet goes and says, the Christian doesn't look to what he sees with his eyes. He looks to what he sees with his faith. That's the focus we're speaking about. Not what you see with your eyes, but what you see with your faith. Because faith isn't a clear thing many times at first. Remember the prophet going out into the woods? And there he sat, and there was the promise pertaining to himself. If you speak to this mountain. But at first to the prophet, it wasn't in focus. He couldn't see that promise the way that he was supposed to see that promise. The promise kept coming to him. He kept hearing the Lord speak to him. But he couldn't get it into focus until that day when he sat meditating. That day when he said, I've got about an hour to spare here. Let me think over that promise. Then for the first time in his ministry, that scripture came into focus. Then he saw that scripture the way that God wanted him to see that scripture. And the moment that happened and he had the right focus on that scripture, the supernatural took place. That scripture now manifests itself to him. That's why sometimes we know in part. We can see things dimly as through a glass. We don't see it fully. Friends, we see the promises to the bride. Many of them, we see them dimly. We don't see them fully. That should be our focus. And friend, if you want to prosper in your life, let me give you some advice today. If you want to do the greatest thing that you can do for yourself and for your family, you know the best thing to do? Help us as a church to focus on the right things. That's the best thing that you can do. Don't make us focus on foolish things, please, friends. Don't get us pulled aside here and pulled aside there on vain things. Let's sort out some of these things in our midst. If you're out of harmony with other people, go and sort it out yourself. If you got something about somebody, don't make a fuss out of it. Sort it out yourself. Otherwise, you know what ends up happening? Instead of us focusing on the things that we need to focus on, we've got to go and focus on all these secondary things. And then when you focus on secondary things, you start to lose the focus of the real thing. But that's the most important thing, because the scripture says where there's no vision, people perish. There's got to be a clear vision. So that's the greatest thing that you can do inside of your life, is let this be the focus of your life. Remember the early church when they had the problem with the Greek widows and the Hebrews, yeah? That's when they had to put deacons in the church. They never needed deacons before that. And that's why Peter said, look, let the deacons sort these things out, because we need to keep our focus. We need to pay attention to prayer and to the word for the sake of the whole church. Friends, that's the greatest thing that you can do to help yourself. The greatest thing you can do to help us here is get in focus and sort out these things that are causing you to lose focus. Go and sort out the differences and things, and friends, it'll help us all a tremendous amount in this place. It'll really help us a lot. That's why it says the Christian army is supernatural. We know that. He says, now, a Christian, his faith can only be based on one thing, and that's the word. Amen. Only on one thing, that's the word. And when you get to that word, that's the living thing. Amen. Is that not true? Amen. When you get your focus on the word, when God gets you to a promise, when God gets to a portion of the word that he wants you to be focusing on that time, it becomes a living thing. There's the power of sanctification. That's the something that feeds your soul. That's the something that renews your vision. That's the something once again that renews your purpose and your commitment is the living word. And that's why God wants that to be our focus. The promises of the word. That's what a believer's got to focus on. The prophet says when your mind and your eyes can be single to that word. No, you focused on that word. You're not double-minded, but you managed to get yourself to a place, spiritually speaking, that your mind and your eyes are single to that word. And you focus that in until you see exactly what God is doing. What a wonderful thing. Oh, friends, when you can shut yourself in and you can see what God is doing. You can see what God wants to do. You can see what God wants to do next. You can see what God wants you to do so he can do the next thing. The prophet says it's a wonderful thing. Our friends, that's a place that a believer wants to be. But that's a place the devil doesn't want you to be. Because that's a fruitful field. That's a prosperous place for a believer to be. Is in that place where you've got clear vision. Where you've got focus. When you've come to that place where your mind is clear, your spiritual eye is discerning and recognizing exactly what it is that God is expecting of you at that time. And God is revealing to you what he wants to do. Oh, friends, the prophet says that's a wonderful thing. The prophet says, Abraham, what did he do? He never paid any attention to what the natural things was. That's where our problem comes in. We put so much attention to the natural things. Oh, brother so-and-so said this against me, and sister so-and-so said this, and this person didn't respect me. That's nonsense. You're focusing on the wrong thing. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do. You've lost focus of the real thing now. Because you're not focusing on the unseen. You're focusing on the things that are seen. You're not focusing on the supernatural. You're focusing on the natural. You've been pulled aside. You've come out of the right place. Instead of it come up higher, something's brought you down lower. You know, it's only coming up higher comes up when you're caught up in the spirit and you see things. And God reveals those supernatural things in that supernatural realm. The prophet says he never paid any attention to the natural things. He looked at what God said. And it became such a reality to him. That's a process. For what God says to become a reality to you, it needs focus. It needs you to put your attention upon that thing. It needs that thing to become the center of activity to you. To put your attention upon it. He says it became such a reality to him till he didn't see anything else but what God said. Oh, friends. His spiritual side got so focused that the natural things, they went dim. He didn't worry about what the natural things were saying to him. Now, how did he do it? The first thing, if you want to get focused like Abraham, he left his home. He separated himself from all unbelief, anything that would try to pull him away. He separated himself so he could walk alone. Separate yourself from anything that stops you gaining the right focus. Anything that makes you lose focus, separate. Doesn't matter how appealing it may be to the flesh. Doesn't matter how appealing it may be to your mind. Doesn't matter how long you may have had ties with that thing. If that thing is causing you to lose focus, be like your father Abraham. Separate yourself. Separate from yourself from anything that makes you lose focus. Anything that's dimming the vision. Anything that's distracting you from the supernatural and making you put attention to the natural. Separate yourself from those things. Because that's what Abraham did. He separated himself. The prophet says he separated himself so that he could walk alone. That's why I said it's an individual affair. What God wants you to focus on, that's between you and God. It's not a group affair. What God wants you to walk into at this time, what he wants you to overcome, what he wants you to do this week, that's between you and God. And if you're going to get too many people involved in that vision, too many people involved in the decision-making process in your life, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. Because this is an individual thing. If you just wanted to become a Christian, what's the first thing he says? Repent. Put your focus on that. Repent. Separate yourself from unbelief. Search your life. Get rid of all the worldly music. Get rid of all the worldly DVDs. Go through your closet. Throw out all the worldly fashions. He's not going to show you the next thing until you put your focus on the first thing. And then once you've repented, what's the next thing? Be baptized. Put your focus on water baptism. Put all your heart, put all your soul. Be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Enter the waters of baptism. Prepare yourself. Then he made a promise. Then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You focus on what God wants you to do. And then the promise will manifest itself. It'll speak on your behalf. But you've got to focus on the right things. One step at a time. Don't look too far ahead. Don't look in other people's affairs and other people's business and be trying to sort out this person's house and that person's house and this person's life. No, 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 no. Don't be like Solomon said. He said, I saw the field of the foolish man, yeah, of the sluggard. He was always trying to fix the next to neighbor's vineyard, but his own vineyard was in disrepair. Amen. He wasn't bringing forth the right fruits. There was weeds and all that in his own field. Friends, focus on the right things first. Get your own vineyard in order first. Plow up the fallow ground. Get rid of the weeds. Get rid of the things that are causing the fruit not to come forth in the way that it should. And then God will show you the next thing to do. Because that's what he said to Abraham. The prophet says, that's what every genuine believer has to do. You have to do that. You have to do that. Separate yourself. Separate yourself from these doubters and unbelievers. Ah, friends, God has ordained certain people to feed your faith. God has ordained certain people to help you to stay in focus. Stay close to those people. But the devil will put people in your jurisdiction all around you. And those people are there to frustrate you in the building. Those people are there to get you to be sidetracked to the left hand and to the right. The prophet said, separate yourself from these doubters and these unbelievers and walk with Christ. Then it becomes life to you. Now that's hard for a lot of people. It's hard for people because they've got their old boyfriends and old girlfriends and old uncle so-and-so and auntie so-and-so. You know, and she's, excuse me, always been so close to me. And no. You don't take your counsel and advice from the ungodly. Someone blessed is he that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is he that takes not counsel from the ungodly. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate night and day. That's the way. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who shall bring forth his fruit in his season. Ah, friends, separation is such an important thing. But Abraham at first never fully separated himself. First he brought his father. That delayed things, and they got stuck up in Haran, wherever it was. Then the prophet says the old man had to die. Then he died to that influence, and he came closer to the promise. Came into that, but he brought Lot along with him. And Lot was just a problem from day one to the end. Because Lot wasn't part of the vision. Lot didn't have the focus. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? Surround yourself with people that agree with the vision. That agree with the vision that God has for you. That's the important thing. Don't surround yourself with unbelievers and all these people that are feeding negative thoughts and they're throwing questions that you can't answer in your path. And no. Separate yourself, especially in the days of your spiritual infancy. When you're trying to get some momentum, that's the time the devil knows he's got to hit you hard so that you don't get a spiritual momentum. At such a time, be a fanatic. It's good to be a fanatic in the days of your youth. Separate yourself so completely from unbelief. Amen. Then find a balance down the way. But some of us, we're trying to find a balance too early. And that allows compromise to come in. No, be a fanatic like Abraham. He didn't care what people said. He had heard from God. He had heard a voice. And he knew the only thing I need to focus on is what this voice said to me. And the moment he involved other things, people hadn't heard the same voice and people that weren't called under the same vision, it caused him a lot of problems inside of his life. Unnecessary delay on the way to the promise. You don't want it to be like that, friends. The prophet says that it's life to you. Abraham did such a thing. And 25 years later, we find him still believing the same promise. Ah, friends, that's a real message believer. Even if we still are 25 years from now, you're still focusing on the promises. You're still focusing on the message. That's a real message, believer. 25 is why? Because he had focused his mind to the will of God. Have you focused your mind to the will of God? Is that what you're focusing your mind onto? Or you're focusing your mind onto your own will? Or the will of your wife, will of your husband, will of your neighbors, will of the other people that are around you? No, no. There's only one will that's important. That's the will of God. There's only one thing worthy to be focused on. Focus your mind on the will of God. What is God's will for you at this time? What is God trying to do with you at this time? Our friends, he's still in the business of speaking to us. We know what it is that he's saying to us at any one time. And we need to focus on those things. That's got to be the focus. Focus yourself. If we can focus ourselves to the plan of God. That's your focus. What is the plan of God? Not the plan of man. Not the plan of the devil. Because he has a plan. But if you can focus yourself on the plan of God. That's what Abraham did. To what God wants for us and what God promised us, and leave everything else alone. That is now Enoch walking with God. Amen. The prophet says, now you're getting into rapturing material. Because you're focusing on the right things. And the more you focus on something, the more clear it becomes. You know, you get up in the morning, your eyes can't focus properly. And you just wait a little bit. Those eyes are going to start focusing and start seeing things the way that you couldn't see them before. It's being shut in with God. And focusing on the right things. And what God promised us. Let everything else alone. The prophet says, Romans 4, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Why? How did he do that? He didn't let unbelief contaminate him at all. Don't let unbelief contaminate you. Why do you want to go and read all these critical message websites? I don't understand people. Friends, I don't understand people. They want to go and see, what are people saying about this? No, 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 no. Friends, we haven't finished reading the messages yet. Why do you want to go and listen what Mr. Unbeliever and Mrs. Unbeliever says? I'd rather go and see what the message says. That's not the promises to us. This is the promises to us. So where should our focus be? The prophet says he never contaminated himself with any unbelief. But instead he separated himself from all unbelief. Because he knew this vision, this focus is it's a fragile thing. It's something, if you're not careful, you can lose it very easily. Every believer here can put up their hand and say they've lost the vision. They've lost the focus many times. So when he draws near to you and starts giving you focus once again, what can be more important than that? Why do you want to get sidetracked onto going and seeing what some other person has to say? What does God say? That's the only thing that counts. It's what God says about you and what God says about me. He didn't let unbelief contaminate him. But he looked to one thing. And that was the voice that spoke to him. Ah, friends. In the days of the voice. He looked to one thing. That was the voice that spoke to him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. A stranger they will not follow. When he's speaking to your friend, you know his voice. You know when he's dealing with you. And Abraham quickly learned, I don't need to listen to all these other things. If I want to walk into this promise, if I want to see the fullness of what he promised for me, I have to quickly learn to keep my focus. Keep my focus on the voice that has spoken to me. Oh, friends, we need to get back to that voice. The prophet says that's what the church ought to do today. Churches and people can speak anyway, but look to the voice. Then he asks us a question. What are we looking at? Ask yourself today, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? What is your focus? Friends, the call today, get back in focus. Refocus the glasses once again. Set them on the promises. Focus them on the voice that speaks to you. Separate yourself from unbelief. And see how quickly God will bring you back into the vision. See how quickly he'll renew you back to what you're supposed to be. The prophet says he didn't even think about his body. Amen. Being as good as dead. Amen. My, that was the thing that could declare itself to him. If he was going to focus on the condition of his body, instead of focusing what God had said, He was going to be a discouraged person. He was going to focus on the condition of Sarah, the outward condition of things. If that was his focus, he was going to be disappointed. But the prophet says he didn't even think about that. That didn't even come in his mind. Why? He had focused all unbelief out. It's a process. Focus all unbelief out. And how do you do that? By focusing all faith in. You focus in on the faith, and the unbelief will lose its focus. That's what it's like. If you're looking through the binoculars and you're trying to see a certain thing, friends, and everything is coming into focus. Once you get the right thing, that thing stands out clear, and everything else becomes dim. And that's how it is when we focus ourselves. Focusing is such an important thing. The prophet says that's what the church should do. Each member of the church should do. Focus out of you all doubt. Let that be your focus this week, my friend. Yes. What are the things that you're doubting? Yes. What are the things when you think about it inside of your life, it's like somebody pours cold water on you. What are the things when you look at it and you say, but hey man, that's a discouragement. Put your focus on that thing. Yes. Go and see what God says about that issue. Yes. Maybe you've heard about what other people say. Someone else will tell you, oh, you don't have enough faith. Amen. God never said that. Yes. That was man that said that to you. Amen. God never said that his children will never have enough faith. Amen. God knows what's in you. Yes. You don't even know what's in you. Yes. Gideon never knew he had such a faith. Yes. Never knew that he had such a faith. But God knew that Gideon had such a faith. And the moment God got him to focus on the promise, God got him to focus on the commission. God got him to focus not on the natural conditions of what things looked like at that time, but once he focused on the right things, he started to move the kingdom of the enemy. And the kingdom of the enemy started to fear this one man, Gideon, for you shall go as one man, the Lord said to him. Just depends on what we're focusing on. That's what you need to focus on. Now in the message, diseases and afflictions, we know the story of that little girl. The prophet, I think she was about, I don't know, 18 years old, whatever he says. Diseases and afflictions, paragraph 71. She was hideously cross-eyed. Yeah? And she was saying, crying at the back, and Sister Bosworth came to her, and this girl was crying, saying, I couldn't get a prayer card. Yeah? So Sister Bosworth, as the prayer line started, took that girl and put her in a certain place and said, stand here where you can see him. Stand here where you can see him. Yeah, that's what it was. And then believe with all your heart that that is a gift from God. And I assure you, he'll call you out in a few minutes. She was focusing on the wrong thing. She was focusing on a prayer card. Sister Boswell said, the prayer card doesn't matter. Focus on the promise. Focus on the gift that's inside of the man. Focus on what God is doing for us in this age. And that girl, she stood there. You know, the prophet speaks about that time when they brought the little girl who couldn't be healed either. And the prophet says, I could see she didn't have enough faith. So he said, come and stand behind me. And she was holding on to his coat. And then when she started to focus on the right things, as one person was coming through being healed, another person was coming through, the prophet says, I could feel her faith start to rise like a heartbeat. There was a pulsation. That's what faith does, friends. That's what focusing on the right thing does. Your faith starts to increase. Something starts to rise up inside of you. What seemed to be dim before, you couldn't see how that pertained to you, all of a sudden it starts to become personal to you. And you start realizing for yourself, I can have this as well. God is no respecter of persons. God is persuading my heart to believe. This is for me as much as it's for anybody else. Our friends, that's how we need to get our focus. Get our focus back once again. That's what he says. And then when that girl standing in the back with the crossed eyes, the prophet says, focused, pray. Imagine she had a crossed eye. She could only see out of one eye, yeah? And she starts to focus. What is the next thing that took place? The supernatural spoke to her. The prophet called her out straight away. And that's how it is when you start focusing on the word the right way. The supernatural speaks back to you. things get to a certain point that you start to focus and you start to focus. And when you put your focus, he starts putting his focus on you. And then he speaks to you. And then things that weren't clear to you before, they start becoming clear to you. But it's all based on focus. And that's why he calls the message, look. Look. Simple word, look. But that's putting your focus onto something. He then speaks about Moses. Let's look at another principle of focusing. Moses was in the palace. The prophet says we find Moses. Moses, the great prophet. He looked out of the window. He was raised in Pharaoh's courts. Yeah? But he knew the word of God. And he looked upon those people as a promised people. He looked upon them as a people that had a promise. Pharaoh looked about out of the same window and he saw them as slaves. So much of what you're going to receive depends on how you look at the people of God. So much. And that's what Satan wants to get your focus wrong. He wants to get Mr. Unbeliever, Mrs. Critic, Mr. Skeptic to come and say this, that, and the other. Some person out of the spirit criticizes you, you lose your focus. Don't lose your focus. Because the moment Moses started looking at those people, started to focus upon those people, started to see these, that these are the people of the promise, God started to do something inside of that man. And the moment you start to see the sons and daughters of God as people under a promise, our friends, you won't come to church late. If you realize here, yeah, we are people of the promise, that there's promises that God has made for us, and God wants to bring those promises to come to pass, you won't quickly speak against your brother. Amen. You won't quickly criticize the sister or the deacon or the trustee or the elder. You won't quickly do those kind of things. Why? Because you realize the fulfillment of the promise, your promise as well, is tied up, grouped together with the people of the promise. Amen. That's an Exodus promise, friends. God calls us individually, deals with us in our individual issues, but there's promises to the church at this time. And friends, if you realize that, discerning the body of the Lord. Pharaoh never discerned the body of the Lord. That's why he never received anything. That's why none of the supernatural that took place at that time benefited him in the slightest of ways. None of it. But Moses, because he saw the people in a different way, he started to focus on the promise. And he started to see these are the people of the promise. These are the brothers and sisters of the promise. The prophet says, that's when Moses saw the victory. Yeah. Why? He had focused himself. Though he was a prince, though he was heir to the throne of Egypt, he focused himself away from the lusts of the world. When that promise started to become real to him, he could have had everything. He could have all the beautiful women. He could have had all the riches, all the power, all the authority. But when he started to focus on the promise, when he started to look at the people of promise, something started to change within him. As he started to focus, as he focused on the promise, the lusts of the world, they started to lose their focus inside of his life. And that's what many of our young people need to do. So many young people, they never listen to the messages. Yeah? So many young people, they wonder why they don't have power. They wonder why they don't have victory inside of their lives. Wonder why the things of the world and the pressure of their friends at school and college are such an influence on them. Because you're not focusing on the promise. You're focusing on the wrong things. Put your focus on the promise. Put your focus on the people of the promise. Find your place. Play your part, no matter how small that it is. And see how God will help the things of the flesh to lose focus inside of your life. That's a testimony of every believer. We all know that. That's how you sanctify yourself. Jesus says, I've sanctified them, Father, by thy word. By the word of promise. The promises, the anointed promises, sanctify the people of God. It keeps you separated from the things of the world. It purges you because those things start to lose their focus. The prophet says he focused himself away from the lust of the world. He focused himself away from the beauty and the power that he had within his own potential to receive. Amen. Oh, friends. Amen. Depends on what you're focusing on. If you want to become a big shot in this world, that's up to you. But you've lost your focus. Because no son or daughter of God should be focusing on that. Those things should follow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added. They should never be your focus. The moment you're focusing on those things, you're focusing on the wrong things. We need to be focusing on the promise. The prophet says he focused in because he knew that God had promised Abraham that he would visit his people. That was Moses' promise. He knew it doesn't matter what's going on here. Doesn't matter what they're offering me. Doesn't matter the throne. I've got one foot on the throne already. That promise, God started to make it real even before the burning bush. God started to make it real to Moses as a young man to say, these are the people of the promise. I was born for a purpose. I wasn't born to be a son of Egypt. I was born to be a son of Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham and gave him a promise. And his promise was he would deliver his people after 10, how many, for those generations, and take them into the land of promise. And something started to declare itself inside of Moses. And he realized, I've got a part to play here. And when he started to take the promise personally and started to focus on that promise, as incomplete as the promise was at that time, it was more than sufficient to separate him from the lust of Egypt. More than sufficient to separate him from all the desires that he had grown up with. That's the power of focusing on the message of the hour. And if you young people would focus on the message of the hour, 99% of your problems would be over in a short space of time. If you'd focus on the right things. Don't focus on YouTube. Facebook. Those things have their place, friends, but they're not important things. Amen. That's not the promise. Amen. That's not going to lead you to the promise. That's just going to keep your mind busy on other things. Amen. Focus on the promise. Amen. Focus on what you should be focusing on and see how faithful God will be to bring his promises to pass. Amen. That's all that he wants us to do, is to focus. To get our focus back on the promises once again. But now he says about Pharaoh, he says Pharaoh did not have this potential. There was nothing in Pharaoh to focus. It's only predestinated seed that are able to focus on the promise. Pharaoh saw the same things living in the same day, but he couldn't focus on it. It wasn't important to him. Oh, friends, I'm so glad that inside of my bosom down here, there's something more important than all the riches that this world can offer. There's a soul, there's a seed inside of there that has heard a voice. And the only thing that satisfies that soul is that voice. Nothing else satisfies that soul. And as long as I keep my soul focused, I keep the vision. It doesn't matter the disappointments, doesn't matter what people say. It doesn't matter to me at all. But the moment I put my focus somewhere else, it's not the same as it used to be. And that's how we've got to refocus things again. Get things clear once again. Get things back to the place that they're supposed to be. So Moses now, that shows what you've got to do. You've got to separate yourself like Abraham from any unbelief. From anything that's going to contaminate you with unbelief, separate yourself. Be ruthless, friends. People say God was cruel in the Old Testament when he said, go and slay man, woman, child, beast. God knew that when you're dealing with unbelief, don't even leave any remnant behind. Don't leave a remnant behind. Remember when Saul thought that he was doing a favor and he spared Agag, and yeah? And the prophet had said, destroy them all. Yeah, and then the seed line continued. And in the book of Esther, what do we find? The whole program of God was put almost to peril because of him and the Agagite. Amen. Because there was a man that never did his job properly years before that, yes, to destroy all unbelief, amen, to deal thoroughly with sin. That sin came back in a multiplied form, friends. Amen. Came and haunted them down the way. And it's going to be exactly the same with you and I. That unfinished business, yes, it's still unfinished. Yes. It's got to be finished at some time, my friend. Amen. Unfinished business has to be finished at some time. Amen. And the quicker you finish it, the better for you. Because the longer that you leave it, the bigger the problem's going to be. And then when now you get down to dealing with the business, you're going to find it's a lot harder than it would have been if in obedience you're just finished at the time that God told you to finish it. Amen. And those are these lingering relationships and those people you keep on your phone that you shouldn't keep on your phone. And those contacts that you have that you know that you shouldn't really have. Friends, be ruthless. That's how when the prophet came, Samuel, and he said, what meanest the bleating of these sheep in mine ears? Then he says, bring that king. He took his sword. He shooed him to pieces. He slayed that man and chopped him into little pieces. Oh, friends, to the unbeliever, that's difficult. But to a believer, we know these things are examples. What was natural then is spiritual to us. These things that want to have dominion over you, these kings that God gives you dominion over, be careful. If you don't destroy them and God gives you the opportunity, they're going to come back and take dominion over you down the way. Then you find the very things you never dealt with properly in the days of your youth, they start to bring you in bondage once again. And then you start to wonder, but why is brother so-and-so not in the spirit anymore? Why is sister so-and-so? Because of the dirty deeds done at night. Because of the things done in darkness and the things done in secret that should have been dealt with thoroughly in the days of your youth. They've come back once again and they're starting now to contaminate you with unbelief. And you've lost the focus of what you're supposed to be. The next thing that you need, if you really, really wanted to focus the vision properly, is persistence. Persistence. You know, it's going to need persistence to keep things focused. He had to wait 25 years, Abraham, friends, and he kept things in focus. Whenever things would get out of focus, he'd get back to the altar, renew the altar, go back to the altar between Bethel and I. He'd get things back in focus once again. But the prophet says, be persistent. Like the little Syrophoenician woman, the woman of Canaan, no matter how many disappointments she had, as she came down, she still had focused herself on that which was of God. It's easy to say, but it's not that easy to do. Smallest little thing. Some people don't come to church. Smallest little thing, they don't want to do to serve the Lord anymore. Friends, our type is the woman of Canaan. That's our type. We should be seeing ourselves there. Let's read it again, just as a reminder. Matthew 15:21. Let's just see the things which came. She could so much have lost focus. She came needing the fulfillment of a promise. She had a desperate need. Now there were going to be so many things that were going to test whether she really had the right focus. Matthew 15:21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. If you put 22 for us there. And behold, a woman of Canaan. She was a Gentile, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. She didn't have the right focus. He wasn't son of David to her. But that's all that she knew. So she started to cry, have mercy upon me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. That's going to test your focus. When you seek the Lord, when you pray, when you seek Him with all your heart and heaven is silent, can you keep focus? That's going to make you lose focus if you're not careful. When the promise takes too long, you'll lose focus. Like Abraham, you'll be going looking for Hagar just now if you're not careful. And God's going to deliver you, but she's going to be a thorn in your flesh. Even up to this age, look what's happening, friends, with the sons of Ishmael. Look at them. They're the ones causing us all the headaches, friends. When you get to the airport now and there's all this additional security, go back and see where it came from. It came from Abraham when he lost focus. And his disciples came and besought her, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. People get offended because other disciples say things against them. She never got offended. She kept her focus. It must have stung. I'm sure it wasn't easy for the flesh. But you know, I'm not here to worry about what some of these backslidden people are saying about me. I'm here because I need a promise. He made a promise and something has spoken to me. A voice has declared to me that this promise is for me. So I'm not going to lose my focus until I see the promise fulfilled. That's how she came. She had perseverance. She had persistence. Doesn't matter how much the wind comes and blows the boat, the anchor holds within the veil. The anchor's going to continue. Don't pay attention to the outward things. But he answered, it's going to get worse. And said, I'm not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm not sent to you. Right. He goes on to say, I don't know if it's in Matthew, I think it might be in Mark. Go to the next verse, please, sister. But in Mark, when it goes on to say, he said, it's not right to take the bread, yeah, and give it to the dogs. And the prophet said, calling her a dog. It was hard. Sometimes the word is hard, friends. Sometimes the word comes, you know what it's just trying to do? It's just trying to test whether you're going to keep your focus. That's all that it's about. God will allow circumstances because he wants to test your faith. To see, is this faith the real thing? Is this faith going to keep its focus? And he allowed disappointments. He allowed discouragements. He allowed gossip to come against you. He allowed people to say things against you. People close to you to let you down. People used to worship, but they leave you. Oh, friends. But to the believer, those things, yeah, they're not easy. But you keep your focus. You just get the binoculars and say, let me just get this back in focus once again. Because I haven't received the promise yet. I haven't received what I came for. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Ah, friends, that's the right kind of an attitude. She kept her focus. It doesn't matter what he doesn't do for you. It doesn't matter what he allows to happen inside of your life. The soul of a believer has the potential. You will continue to worship him. If you'll just put focus on that which is unseen, in those kind of times, you won't be sidetracked by that which is seen. Your soul is predestinated to that. Your soul is the one that heard the voice of the promise. So just keep focusing on that. And the moment you focus like that, what happened next? Verse 27. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat. Go to 28, sister. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. The supernatural will speak back. Every single time the supernatural will speak back. If you keep your focus, doesn't matter what comes. You be perseverant in keeping your focus. The supernatural will speak back at the end. And you'll receive what you came for. Every time. But God's program, God's work that he starts inside of your life, it's got to run the gauntlet of the devil's forces. Every move, every program of God, it's got to go through the devil's forces. But the potential is there for it to come out clear and well in the end. Our friends, we'll skip a little bit here. Listen to what he says, the prophet, about the pool of Bethesda. He gives another example here about focusing. We know the pool of Bethesda. Let's read that just so that the people who don't understand the Bible much. John 5 verse 4. Look what it said about the promise, how God operates. I love the way the prophet puts this in this message. John 5 verse 4, it says, for an angel went down at a certain season. It wasn't all the time. So there's going to come times you're going to come to church and we're going to grind along a little bit, friends. There's going to come times you're going to put on the message and it's going to be, hey, this isn't so easy for me. There's going to be times you get yourself in prayer and it seems the heaven is like brass. Because there's those certain seasons. Oh, friends, there's certain times that the spiritual atmosphere is fertile for God to do something on your behalf. And when those seasons come, keep your focus. Keep your focus. An angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, you had to be quick, friends. You had to be quick if you were at the pool of Bethesda and you were gossiping with sister so-and-so, sister-so-and-so. The angel went in the water, you weren't going to take your chance. But if you were focused, if your attention was upon the water, if your attention was upon the promise, if you could sense and feel inside of your soul, something's taking place. Something's drawing nigh. God wants to do something. I can feel it. And you could put your focus on the promise, on the provision that God had made. The moment something started to stir, you were going to be on your feet and you were going to be in the water. And that's the principle the prophet speaks of here. He says, look at the sheep gate. That's the pool of Bethesda. God has always had a way for man to look for salvation. You have to look for salvation.
He'll attract your attention, but you've got to look. You've got to focus. You've got to act when there was the brazen serpent. You had to look and live. If you looked in a certain way and you focused in a certain way until you moved into a certain spiritual channel, then the blessing that thing was given for became your possession. But it needed a certain kind of look, a certain kind of approach. If you just paid it a glance and said, ah, an old piece of brass and a piece of wood, what does that mean? You would have died under the serpent's venom in your veins. But the moment you looked at that with a certain kind of a look, our friends, there's something about it. The prophet says that God has always had a way for man to look to salvation. And today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you can just look the right way, if you can just put your focus, if you can just push aside those thoughts that trouble you and say, no, I'm tired of living this kind of a life. Where am I going to end up if I continue living this kind of a life? And you push your way through and you cast yourself into the troublings of the water, something supernatural will take place. But there's got to be a perseverance. There's got to be a determination. There's got to be a single-mindedness, especially at those kind of seasons, that you keep your focus. Keep your focus. The prophet says it about there. This is, they were waiting. Their eyes were watching the water. Five porches. And then when he came in, he was watching. There had to be something supernatural happening. And as soon as the supernatural happened, they ran for it. Because it didn't happen all the time. There were certain seasons. Oh, friends. Those times of visitation, when God draws near to you, put your full focus. Get up early in the morning. Lay aside food and drink for a season. Put your focus once again on what God is wanting to do for you. When the waters are troubled, when the supernatural starts to stir, you haven't received the promise yet, but the potential is there if you can keep your focus. And take advantage of that season when God is doing something. Oh, friends, may it be the season for certain people today that you keep your focus. And you say, I'm not leaving this place the same. I'm not going to leave this place the same. When we pray, I'm going to pray. In fact, I'm already starting to pray. I'm saying, Lord, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Because something is declaring itself to you. Oh, friends, when God comes and excites something inside of your soul, it's an evident token. He wants to do something for you, but he's calling you, pay attention. Put your focus on what I'm doing here. Put your focus on the promises. The prophet was in the prayer line that time. And then the pillar of fire went over that man with whatever disease that he had, I can't remember. And the prophet says, sir, then calls out his name and says, it left him. He says, he missed it because he should have paid attention. When the supernatural, the pillar of fire was overshadowing him, dealing with him, friends, he was thinking about something else. And he missed his day of visitation. And the angel moved over other people, went and did whatever it was going to do. Yet God had an intention. God had a desire to do something for him. Our friends, we need to keep our focus, especially in these kind of times. The prophet says he promised he would do it. And when they saw that promise begin to move, when the angel would come down, they knew this is God's provision for us. When they saw the promise begin to move in a supernatural, they jumped right into it and they took it. That's a personal something, friends. Our friends, in this season, let's take advantage of the season. Let's take advantage of the season. That's why I say the greatest favor you can do for yourself. Rid yourself in your life from those things that are causing you to lose focus. If you're disappointed with other people, go and sort it out with them. Don't bring your burdens to church every single week because you grieved with this person, you grieved with that person, and then it hinders God from dealing with you in the way that he wants to deal with you. Go and sort those things out. Put your focus on those things. You find it won't even take a day. If you put your full focus on it, before God's grace, the supernatural will move on your behalf. And God will bring reconciliation. God will start to move things back to the place that they're supposed to be. But you've got to put your focus. But if you're going to focus all the time, that person said that against me, that person said that against me, you're focusing on the wrong thing. Amen. You're focusing on the wrong thing. Focus on the right thing. The Christian looks to that which is unseen. Now look how the prophet, just as we come drawing to a close, he says they were watching for something. They were looking for something. Now, if somebody said, well, let's go up in there and see what the rest of them's doing, we'll see if that looks supernatural, they never would have got anything. But it's the man that had to press up, like Bartimaeus, against opposition, against pressure. But something's declared itself to you inside of your soul. It's the man that has to press up, not sit at the back, but in the front, the man who is waiting for the altar call, the prophet says. The man who's waiting to see something supernatural. That's what's going to declare itself. And that's what the Pool of Bethesda was. But now the wonderful thing about the Pool of Bethesda, this man couldn't walk.
Amen.
But he had an attitude inside of himself. He was so focused that God looked down and said, he can't get to the supernatural, so I'm going to bring the supernatural to him.
Amen.
That was the grace of God. Jesus came to him. Friends, you might not be able to do a lot of things, but inside of your heart, if there's that focus and that desire, God will bring it to you. He says, draw near to me and I'll draw nigh unto you. He had that desire. So Jesus came and said, take up your bed and walk. The supernatural came to him. The prophet continues on speaking about that. Let's bring ourselves to Elijah as we close. Let's think about Elijah now. What about Elisha? Yeah? What was the promise that Elisha asked for? He said that I might have a double portion of the anointing. What was the condition? If you see me, if you're still looking at me when it's rapture time, not just looking at me when you go to Gilgal, and not just looking at me in those first, second, third pool, whatever that it was, but if you keep your focus, you keep looking at me right to the end. Friends, many started well in the message. Now they lost focus. Many started. It's not him that starts well, it's him that finishes well. That's the important thing. Keep your focus to the end. And when Elisha now was looking at him that day, then the chariot came and caught him up. He said, I'm looking at you. And then down came the promise upon him. Because he was focusing on the right thing. The school of the prophets tried to get him caught up in other things. Focusing on this, focusing on that. He says, I don't trouble me about those things. There's one thing I have to worry about at this time. That's to keep my eyes on Elijah. That's where the promise is. He's given me a promise that if I keep my eyes on him, a double portion of what he had is going to come upon me. And friends, he persevered to the end. And then the supernatural spoke back. And there was a manifestation of the very thing that he was keeping his focus upon. And that's exactly the way that it'll be every time. But then the prophet, he comes down and he's closing off his message. He speaks about Elijah after Mount Carmel. And Elijah's down, maybe a little bit down from Mount Carmel. And there's a promise that God has given. And the prophet says, Elijah, one day when he was looking for something to come to bring help to the people, he was praying for rain. It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Yeah. And the Lord had promised him, if the people repent, I'll send the rain. And Elijah had been there, and the people, you know, the 7,000, so forth, the people said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Yeah, he turned their hearts. So Elijah knew there's a promise here. People have repented. Something's taken place. He was looking for something to help, bring help to the people. And he looked. An 80-year-old man or something, too tired to climb the mountain. He had been fasting and praying. But God told him, if they would repent, something would happen. Same to any believer here. Same to any unbeliever here. If you will repent, there's a promise. Something will happen. Something will happen if you just keep your focus. Because when you go from this place, there's the myriads of hell are going to try to get you to lose your focus. Your relatives are going to phone from Africa. Someone passed away. There's not enough money. There's a child that's sick, needs to go to the hospital. You're going to get back to where you stay. There's going to be problems there and problems there. Friends, what is that? It's to test you, to see whether you're going to keep your focus on the promise, to see whether you're going to keep your focus. But God told him. So the prophet says, Elijah sent his servant up and said, go and look. Something is going to happen. 3.5 years, no rain, not a cloud. So Gehazi stood and looked. And he looked and he looked. But he didn't see anything. So he came back down and said, I didn't see anything. He was looking in a different realm than Elijah was looking. He was looking at that which is seen. But Elijah, there was something inside of him was looking at a promise. He was looking at the unseen. He knew God has declared to me he's going to do something at this time. He'd already said it to Ahab. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Ah, friends. But what did he need this young man to do? To focus. He didn't see it the first time, so he sent him back a second time. And he came back and he said, I didn't see anything. He says, you go back a third time. You keep going back until you see something. Because nothing's going to change until you see something. Ah, friends, we need to be going back to him until we see something. If you're not seeing a change in your life, focus. Go back to him. Get on your knees. Pray. Ask other people to pray for you until you see something. And you will see something. Something will have to declare itself. It has to declare itself. So Gehazi says, I don't see something. Anything. Go back again. The prophet says, amen. Go back and stay there until it happens. And then what did Elijah do? He started to pray. He put his head between his knees. And he started to make intercession to the heavens. And he started to say, Father, you made a promise. Father, you are guilty of your promises. You've never yet failed on a promise. And you've given me a promise. And the people have repented. And you said if the people would repent, you would do something for them. And then, Gehazi started to see something. But what did he see? It wasn't big when it started. That's why we've got to be careful we don't lose our focus. Because sometimes you're expecting some big something. Maybe Gehazi was expecting a great thundercloud. A dark thundercloud soaring up into the heavens. But what did he see? A little cloud the size of a man's hand. Friends, but to a believer that's enough. Yes. To a believer that's more than enough. Yes. When just something starts to move in the supernatural once again, when you're seeking the face of God, that's all that you need. Because you know when he starts to move, he's going to finish what he started to do. He's never going to start and then not finish what he started. But Gehazi didn't know that. So he comes back now to Elijah and says, I don't see very much, just a cloud the size of a man's hand. Elijah goes back and looks. And Elijah, that little bald head sitting there in the sun, his whiskers and his beard, white beard, bony looking arms across his knees, he said, Lord God, as he began to pray. And he said, go back again now. What was he doing? He was looking for God to take care of his promise. No matter how brassy the skies looked. No matter how brassy the skies look today, my friend. Get back into focus. Because you'll hear a sound of an abundance of rain. You may have been praying and it just seems you've been under judgment for a long time in that part of your life. Why not today believe? Why not today set your face, look towards the promise, and start to see something will start to move. It may not start in some great kind of a way. The prophet says Elijah kept looking until he saw just the size of a man's hand. Now, unbelief would have caught that right quick. If that's the best that you can do, if that's all you can do, well, take it back. But what was it? He was looking for the supernatural. And he knew only the hand of God could do it. And that's what the hand represented. And when he saw that hand, He said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. What was it? He accepted the first move. Like with the pool of Bethesda. You had to be quick, accept the first move. The moment you could sense inside of yourself, God is doing something. God wants to do something here. Can't you feel it these days, friends? God wants to do something. But let's get back into focus. Let's focus on the promise. Let's focus on what God wants to do. We've seen a cloud the size of a man's hand. We can hear inside of ourselves the sound of an abundance of rain. But let's get back into focus. And let's help one another. Let's not pull other people out of focus. But let's help one another to stay in focus. Help the song leader to stay in focus. Help the deacons to stay in focus. Help the ministers to stay in focus. It's the greatest thing that you can do at a time like this. And you stay in focus. And you stay in focus and see what it is. But you've got to accept the first move. You can't look and say, but we haven't seen this and we haven't seen that. Yeah? It's a cloud the size of a man's hand. But just keep in focus and you're going to see something taking place. The prophet says, oh unbeliever, this morning, you that's been all scrupled up, let the Spirit of God open your eyes and show you just a little something. Then you start from there. And then you'll hear the sound of an abundance of rain. If God is just doing a little something inside of your heart, if you're feeling in a way that you've never felt inside of your life, or you haven't felt like that for a long time in your experience, our friends, that's a foretaste of glory divine. If you can just focus on that and see it all the way through. Listen to what he says as he concludes. He says, we're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're looking at the Holy Ghost falling in the last days. We're looking at signs and wonders. We watch what's taking place. But what are you looking at? That's exactly what God said would take place. So let faith grab it and say, I want that too. That's what faith does. Faith looks at the promise and says, I want that also. I want that too. It says, oh, if the people here, if you haven't received the Holy Ghost this morning, if that first little tinkle would say, that's the truth. The man telling the word, that's the truth. Then hurry as quickly as you can. Amen. Don't wait. Amen. What are you looking at? What are you waiting for? The hour is later than you think. Amen. Get moving towards it as fast as you can. Amen. Why? When Elijah saw that move, it was the evidence of answered prayer. Ah, friends, when he saw that little hand, the cloud like a hand, it was an evidence that God had heard prayer. Amen. And the prophet says, oh, I wish every sick person here this morning that feels this Holy Spirit in our presence could realize that's the evidence of the prayer that you've prayed. Oh, friends, his blessing, it's an evidence that he heard your prayer. If he's real to you now, if you find his Spirit is around you now, it's an evidence of answered prayer. He heard your prayer. Just keep your focus until the fullness of the promise comes. That's all that Elijah had to do. He says, that's the evidence of a prayer that you prayed. That's been answered in the presence of God. Every man who wants the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you just feel that little grand feeling, saying that I believe it's the truth, if you'll take that, that's the evidence of my answered prayer. Raise up your hands and say, God, I receive it. And something's going to take place. Friends, let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer. Amen. You yourself, whatever God is speaking to you about, put your focus on that now. Don't let the devil take away your focus now, my friend. Amen. Cast down reasonings. Cast down every imagination. Amen. Cast down everything that would declare itself above the promises of God. And whatever God has been speaking to you, speak it back to him. If he's told you to do something, just inside of your heart, submit yourself and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. And if you can feel that he's dealing with you, that's the foretaste of answered prayer. But let's move in now. Let's pray. Let's seek his face. Let's call upon his name. Let's say, Lord, we've seen a cloud the size of a man's hand. But Lord, we want the abundance of rain. Let's all call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we bring ourselves unto Thee, Father, just such a needy people that we are. Father, we look unto Thee and we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the promises of Your Word. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You, Father, that You've given us another day. Oh, Father, we know that the hour is late. And Father, how we just desire, Lord, inside of ourselves, Lord, by Your grace and by Your mercy, Lord. We just desire, Father, that focus. That focus, Lord, to be what it used to be, Lord. We do not want to focus on other things, Lord. We do not want to set our attention, Lord, upon vanity, upon other things, Lord. But You wanted to look unto Thee even upon this day. Wanted to wait upon Thee, Heavenly Father, at this time. Oh, surely, Lord, we hear the sound of an abundance of rain even upon this day. We just want to worship Thee. Just want to praise Thee. Just want to bring ourselves unto Thee. Just want to look away unto Thee to call upon the name, Lord. To bring it all before Thee. Father, this time, Lord Jesus, that You provided, Lord. This time that You've allowed, Lord Jesus, that You provided and have given, Lord. I just want to worship Thee, Lord. Just continue to help me, Heavenly Father. Even as Thou knowest, Lord, my desire. Even as You know, Lord, that I would seek and pray for Your grace. Even as I would seek and pray for Your mercy. That, Father, You would lead and guide me, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, is my desire. That You would grant unto me grace, Lord Jesus, even upon this day. That, Lord, Father, I may just hear the sound of an abundance of rain, Lord. I just want that focus, Lord Jesus, as in those days, Lord. Forgive me for taking mine attention, Lord, for taking mine affections, Lord, from the things of Your kingdom, Lord Jesus, is my desire. Forgive me, Lord Jesus, for being sidetracked to the left and the right, Lord. I just want to return back, Lord Jesus, to the days of my youth, Lord. I just want to return back, Lord Jesus, to those days and those times, Lord Jesus, that lay behind, Lord. I just want to wait upon Thee, Lord. Just want to look unto Thee. Just want to bring it all before Thee. To humble myself before Thee, Lord, even at this time and upon this day. Help us as Your people, Lord Jesus, is my desire. To keep in focus, Lord Jesus, is my petition, Lord. As I would look unto Thee, would want to bring it all before Thee. Would want to wait upon Thee, to call upon the name, and to bring it all before Thee, Lord. Even at this time and upon this day, Lord Jesus, is my desire, Lord, and my prayer. I'm looking unto Thee, wanting to wait upon Thee, Lord. Wanting to call upon the name, Father, to bring it all before Thee at this time, Lord. I just want to keep the vision. I just want to return back, Lord. Grant me that grace. Grant me that mercy, Lord, is my petition, Lord. Just a touch from Thee, Father, Lord, in that, Lord, place, Lord, is my petition, Lord, that You continue to quicken me, Lord, to lead and guide me, Lord, and pray. Take away all spiritual amnesia, Lord Jesus, is my desire, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, the toils of the road and the things of the road, Lord. I just want to return back, Lord, unto that place. To that focus, to that vision, Lord, to that place, that You may be glorified indeed, O Lord, as I look to Thee, as I bring it before Thee, Lord, and as I would call upon the name, Lord, upon this day, just bringing each and every one of these things up unto Thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, just wanting to wait upon Thee, Lord, to dedicate it all up unto Thee. Father, to Lord, yield and submit and humble all things into Thine hands, Lord. I just bring Thine word upon Thee, Lord, upon this day, even as You've spoken unto me, Lord. Even as I would come before Thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, to humble myself before Thee, Lord, at this time, even as I would look unto Thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, even at this time and upon this day. How I just want to worship Thee, Lord. How I just want to go forth in Your precious name. How I just want to yield myself unto Thee. How I just want to bring myself before Thee, Lord, to call upon the name, Father, to Father, dedicate it all up unto Thee and to wait upon Thee, Lord, for Your glory, Lord. Just praying for Your people, Father, each and every one, Lord. I just bring it up unto Thee, Father, Lord. I do not want to look unto that, Lord. I just want to look unto Thee. I just want to bring it before Thee. Just want to wait upon Thee. Just want to call upon the name, Lord. To dedicate all things into Thine hands, Lord, even at this time and upon this day. That You may be glorified indeed, O Lord, as seek and ask and pray, Lord. Just be glorified, Father, as we bring ourselves before Thee, Lord. Father, just want to wait upon Thee, Lord. Father, want to look away unto Thee, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. That, Father, You may be glorified, Lord. If there's anybody here today before we enter into worship and you're desiring prayer, why don't you raise your hand to the Lord? You know, sometimes He moves in a way inside of your life and just a response like a raised hand. Maybe that's all that you can do at this time. But oh, friends, how he'll recognize that response. And because you've responded, He'll continue to respond. He'll continue to work and He'll continue to act. Whatever your need, let's just unite our faith together today. against every stronghold of the enemy, against every power of darkness, against all the works of the enemy. And let's just come on the basis of the simple promises of His word, that if two of you on earth shall agreed upon anything, friends, He said it shall be given. And the two and three, I'll be there. And friends, He's here. So just keep your focus now on the very thing that it is that you desire the Lord to intervene on your behalf about. Father, just in simplicity, we bring our faith up unto Thee. Even as the song says, Lord, my faith looks up to Thee. Thou Lamb of Calvary. Oh, Jesus, we know that it's only Your hand that can bring it to pass, Lord. We know that it's not by power, it's not by might, it's not by the eloquence of people. But Father, but it's by Your Spirit, saith the Lord. But Father, we know, Jesus, that You were raised up to destroy the works of the devil. So Lord, upon this day, every work of the devil, every hand that has responded upon this day, every working, Lord, every negativity, Lord, every criticism, Lord, Father, every sickness, every disease, Father, every depression, every oppression, Lord, every, Lord, spirit of backsliding, Lord, every spirit of lukewarmness, Lord, whatsoever it will be, Father, we just unite our faith together, Lord, upon this day. And we say, Lord, to the enemy that he has no place in this place. Father, we just come, Lord, unto Thee, Lord, by Your promise, Lord. Father, we place our feet and footsteps means possession. Father, we place our necks upon those enemies by faith upon this day. And Father, we curse the enemy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. We stand against every power of darkness, Lord. Father, we power stand against every power and every principality, Lord. He tried to disturb us at the beginning of the service, Lord. But as always, He's lost, Lord. And Father, we know that Jesus gives us the victory, Lord. So, Father, we enter in upon this day. Father, Lord, unto the promises that You've given unto us. Father, we stand, Lord, even upon this day. And though it may only be as a little cloud the size of a man's hand, but Father, inside of us by faith, we say, Lord, that we hear the sound of an abundance of rain upon this day, that there shall be showers of blessing. Father, mercy drops now are falling, but for the showers we plead, Father, how we thank You, Lord, for the message of the hour, Lord, and how we just want to keep our focus. Father, everything that there will be that has hindered us in this time that lays behind from focusing on the things that You desire to focus on, Lord, let those things die even now, Lord. Let them die a natural death, Lord, is our petition, Lord. Let us separate ourselves from everything that would contaminate our faith. Let us separate ourselves, Lord, from everything, Lord, that would hinder the vision, Lord. And You lead us and You guide us, Lord, to higher ground, Lord, is our desire. And Father, every hand, Lord, Father, in Your precious name, Lord, Father, we declare Your blessing upon the needs of Your people, Lord, that You would move on behalf of Your people, Lord. And even as we depart from this place, praying for Brother Max once again, bless them as that goes. Sister Comfort, Lord, our brother who's come from Brother Chandler's church, bless them, Lord. Bless him, Lord, as he'd be with us, Lord. Bless the saints that are there, Lord. Father, continue to be with them and bless them and lead them and guide them, Lord. Even our Sister Beulah, Lord, may You have mercy upon her, Lord. Even with Sister Hope, Lord, we pray that You would move on her behalf, Lord. And let it be speedy, Lord, that that little baby would come forth, we pray. That, Father, Lord, everything may come in its course and in its season at the right time for Your glory, Lord. Heavenly Father, watch over us, Lord, even as we'd worship, Lord. Lead us into the spirit of worship as we'd go from this place. And in the things that would lay before us, Lord, help us is our desire. Continue to bless Brother Lubanza, Lord, and his labors there, Lord. And Heavenly Father, grant him that vision. You lead him and guide him, Lord, according to the calling that You've called him unto, Lord. And may he be a blessing and may he be blessed in the things that he does. And Father, bless the remainder of this day. Give us traveling mercies, Lord. How much we realize it after our brother Mike, Lord. Father, we realize just how much we need Your hand of grace to be upon us in these kind of times, Lord. Father, we don't want to take it for granted, Lord. But Father, overshadow us and watch over us, Lord. And Brother Alex, Lord, we pray for him concerning these things of work, Lord. You said You would make all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Just pray, Father, that You'd move on his behalf, Lord. That, Father, Lord, You'd fight his battle, Lord. But let Your will be done, we pray. Father, bless Your people upon this day. Touch Your people as we worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Let's come to a time of worship, saints. And may the Lord bless you.
This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need, there shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again over the hills and the valleys. Sound of showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need, there shall be showers of blessing. Send them upon us, honor thy word, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need, there shall be showers of blessing, for unto the name I call. Now as to God with confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we need.
Looks up to the impart strength.
service.
An announcement. There's no service on Wednesday since we're having a special prayer meeting for all trustees and those involved in sound and music. Please, if you'd come, we'd like to have a special prayer meeting also just to speak about certain things to a sound and so forth. The rest of the people, please keep it in prayer. We have certain aims and objectives. Really do appreciate the saints that are helping. The saints who came yesterday to help get the live streaming up again. We got ourselves a much better broadband connection. So I didn't want to even say to people that there's live streaming, because people then like to use the live streaming instead of being in the house of the Lord. But but it's very useful. So we do thank the Lord for the saints that sorted that out yesterday. And there's other things we're trying to sort out concerning the website, Brother Kwame. We're trying to do certain things hand in hand with our desire to do evangelism in a couple of weeks' time. Brother Eli is heading up the evangelistic team. If anybody wants to join, please let us know. I'm thinking to get out onto Henry Street in a couple of weeks' time, trying to prepare tracts and so forth. So please keep that in prayer. That'll be a real blessing. When the saints focus on something, you find God's blessing always comes upon it. So we just want to speak about some of those things on Wednesday. So I'd really ask the saints, trustees, musicians, so forth, to come on Wednesday. Sister Duba is saying, thank the Lord and your prayers. Ruth had a safe to and from England. Safe journey. So we do thank the Lord for that. Let's sing one more. Then we ask Brother Max, maybe you come, brother, and just dismiss the service for us, if you wouldn't mind. Let's sing one more song.
Holy birds, came to us.
Let's start while you have the word, sir.
Long reserved for our walk in this world, they reside with God's own. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, already ancient words impart. Holy word, oh, of our faith, and then to sacrifice on the faithful words of Christ. Holy words long preserved for our own in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Already ancient words impart, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart, already ancient words impart.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this ancient word. Holy words, words of life, words of faith that have been preserved, God, for us. Lord, we thank you, God, even looking at what the enemy is doing. Surrounded us with all kinds of things to deceive us, deceptions. But yet, Lord Jesus, we thank you, God, that in this time that we are living in, oh, you sent us a message. Oh, to turn our hearts back to the apostolic fathers, to focus upon the message. Oh, when you lay down the foundation of your church, oh God. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we came this morning, through this afternoon, we came by faith, Lord. And we believe that, Lord, every request that your children raise their hands. Oh, we are like you, our father Abraham, who even against hope, hoped. Oh, Lord Jesus, he believed in hope. He staggered not. And he never focused on the weakness of his body, nor of the weakness of Sarah's womb. But he focused upon your promise. Lord, this morning also, as children of Abraham, our request that we brought this morning, we are focusing on it to God. Because we know that you are the one that can provide exceedingly above even all that we expect to God. So Lord, this morning, oh God, your children, we are going believing that you are still, Lord Jesus, the chief priest to God over your house. And we know that, Lord, our confession this morning, you have made it good to us. Father, we thank you, we bless you. We thank you for our pastor, Lord. Having used him, O Lord, this morning. Oh, a wonderful message that we have received. Father, we thank you, the Lord, our focus will be upon things that are expedient. As Apostle Paul said, all things may be good, but yet there are things that are expedient, Lord. Brethren, let us focus on that in the name of Jesus Christ. So Lord, bless our pastor, O God. Even the virtue that has gone out of him, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you restore him once again. Father, even come Wednesday as Lord Jesus, it has been devoted, O God, for this meeting, Lord. Father, we pray the Holy Spirit, O God, to come and overshadow and bring things to Lord Jesus to perfection, that we focus on the things that are right to God. Lord, even as we leave your presence, we know that we are not going alone, O Lord. We are going with your word, O God. Father, help us to focus upon the things that we have heard. Even as your scripture says, blessed is the man that will hear these prophecies and even read them and keep them. Lord, let that blessing be upon us, O God. As you brought us in, Father, take us back again. We ask for genuine mercies, Lord, even for all other people, O Lord, other road users, Lord. We don't know them, but Father, keep an each and every one, Lord, safe unto his or her destination. Father, once again, we say thank you, Lord. Amen. The week is in your hands. Amen. Let our focus be upon the things that, Lord, you will provide, O God. Amen. Oh, let us look up, O God, always unto you. Amen. We know that, Lord, you will never slumber. You look after us. Yes. We thank you. We bless you. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray with all thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
It's just missing in one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, somebody wants prayer. So let's sing that song while we pray. Amen.
One of them. I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are on a flame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Now those people may not long be normal, worldly fame. They have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide, his Papa is yet the same. I'm so glad that I can say I am one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service came. Now what he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I am one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bell ringing, that will keep your soul aflame. It is now burning. Glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them.